The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Yeah, here I am coming in hot. Hi, guys. It's Nikki. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome. Hey, Noah.
Hey.
Hi. Oh, my God. One of those mornings where you open your eyes and you go, today's going to be a doozy. And I can't wait to shut my eyes tonight. No, I can't wait. What time tonight is going to feel good? Oh, no times because, oh, no, that's not true. So today's just like a busy day. Right after this, I have a fitting for the MTV Movie and TV Awards Unscripted, which is on Monday night. The 17th, set your DVRs. And then right after that, I get into hair and makeup for Fallon. My ladies are coming over here to do that. And I'm a little disappointed, though, because I just saw the promo shots for the stuff that I shot last Thursday, I think. And a full day of just shooting, and I look like a hot mess. Like, my hair is crazy, and my makeup is not good. And I was just saw the footage yesterday, and I was just like, God, I look like I'm playing a character that's, like, on a reality show that's, like, drunk. And, like, I looked like I was playing a character. Like, it's just a bad look. And the question to myself first was, like, how did I not see this? But the thing is, when you're in a makeup room and everything, it looks great. And then and the lights are all different when you get out there. And the camera angle is different than the angle you were looking at yourself in the mirror. And so you see this version of yourself and then you're supposed to, it's just too, I can't manage everything. I can't. Because then you go, you're sitting there, and I should have asked the camera guy, can I see the shot? Which I did do, but my eyes are bad. I can't sit in where I'm sitting and then look 8 feet away at a little camera screen and see what it actually looks like when maybe watch it on your phone, unless someone takes a picture. But then pictures aren't the same as videos, so someone has to videotape the camera screen so then show them. And then it's just like, I just look terrible. And it might be because I just want to blame someone other than myself, but the truth is that I just didn't do my due diligence to, like, I just expect people to be like, hey, you don't look good. Like, or like, hey, your hair, we could do better, like, with your hair. There's sometimes when, like, you're on set and someone's like everything shuts down and everyone, like, comes out to, like, fix whatever is going on with your hair or your makeup, and it becomes like this issue where, like, everyone's like, it's her left hair, it's like the hair back there, and it's like, oh no, that's just my hair. Or it's like, well, you have a spot here, and it's like, that's just my face, you know. Like, there's sometimes where you're like, nothing can fix it, but then there's other times where it's like, guys, I'm looking at this and I can't believe, I mean, I saw the footage yesterday when we got off of Zoom, you and I, yeah. And I sent you a screenshot. It's just like, that's not what I look like. It looked like
I agree.
It's just like, it was not a good look. And thank God it's, you know, the silver lining of this is I could be like, well, now all these commercials that are going out, I look terrible in, and blah, 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 blah. But now I'm like, you know what? I could have looked that way for the actual awards, but now I'm like very, very dead set on fixing what happened. So I'm grateful that I looked like shit for those. And the girl that did my hair and makeup did a great job when I was looking in the mirror, but I wrote my stylist I worked with for like almost 10 years now, and they like flew in, and they're like, you know, LA based, they work in the industry, they work with models, like they know more than anyone what is cool, what's pretty, what's like, I trust them explicitly. They're the coolest girls I know, Danny and Emma. And I wrote them yesterday, like, after I saw the shoot, and I was like, guys, I know you didn't do my hair and makeup, and I know you don't insult hair and makeup if it seems like I'm happy, but if you see me looking like this, you gotta text me, like, hey, we need to fix this. Like, you don't need to be rude and be like, you don't need to, like, say anything to my face, but, like, I can't look like this ever again on camera. And it's like, I was just like, I mean, it is my responsibility. It's, at what point do I go? Like, I can't blame other people that I look bad. I just like, I.
But people who work with you on that capacity, someone has to step up and say it.
All their job is to make me look hot and look good and look beautiful. It's
I always know, like, if I have a true friendship or if someone truly respects me, if I have something in my teeth, if they don't point it out and they let me walk around like that all day, they're not my real friend or they don't really respect me. I just say it like nonchalantly. Hey, there's something in your teeth. They're like, or I'm just like, go like this. And then it's like, I would never want anyone that I care about to walk around with schmutz on their face.
Yeah, you've always been really good about like, hey, well, maybe you want to do this. Like, you'll like very gently tell me like, so you have a little makeup there. Like, the way my makeup runs underneath my eyes, no matter what, like it transfers underneath. And by the end of the day, I just look like, you know, who's a girl with, they look like Alice Cooper by the end of the day. And no boys ever tell me, ever. Guy friends will never tell you you have makeup all over your face. And then I'll go look in the mirror and I'm like, what the, how could you think this is how I want to look? Do you think I know that I look like this? I don't. And Paris Hilton actually told me that she does a test where she will wear like a disgusting outfit and she's getting ready for friends and she'll like walk out and be like, do you guys think this is cute? The problem is Paris Hilton looks cute in literally anything. And so her friends will be like, yeah, that's hot. And she's like, that's not a true friend. And she tests them. And I don't even need to do that because I just have so many times where I go, how could you let me look like this? I mean, it was the same reaction I had. This feels like the same way which is the very sad thing I used to feel, but I used to be so mad at my parents for having sex and making me because I'm so ugly. I used to tell my mom, like, how could you let this happen? Like, you knew that there are some ugly people in your family that could maybe get through in your DNA, and you knew dad had some uggos in his history. Why would you two have sex and like possibly make something so ugly as me? And my mom would go, I remember she'd just be washing the dishes and go, you're fucking crazy. That's a crazy thing to say. And it's rude. Get out of here. Like, she would be so mad at me. And I'd just be like, but it's your responsibility. It's not my fault I'm ugly. You and dad had like, it was just so sad. So I kind of feel that same way of like, Nikki, don't blame others. Like, I should just do my own makeup. And then I have only myself to blame. It's like when you ask people to do a job and then they do it bad, you just have a reason to. But really, it's your fault because you hired that person. You need to ask for what you want. Like,
yes.
We're just talking about this. Like, don't wait for people to give you what you want. You have to ask. Like, you can't assume. Like, sometimes people are like if you order at a restaurant and you're like, and I want that salad with no cheese because I'm vegan. And then the salad comes and let's say it has chicken on it. And it's like, well, this person, you said vegan, but you didn't explicitly say no chicken and cheese. You said no cheese. It's like, but I didn't know there was chicken on it. And I said vegan. It's like, people can't read your mind. I recently disappointed someone in my life who's like very angry with me because I let them down and has every right to feel that way based on how they're feeling, because you feel how you feel. And I do feel like I could have been better at communicating. But it's also like, I hate the thing when you disappoint someone and they've been like watching you disappoint them over and over and never said anything. Like, they've just been waiting for you to disappoint them and they go, yes, you disappointed me, as opposed to getting ahead of it and being like, hey, I'm like waiting for you to disappoint me. Like, are you going to, or like, what's the deal? Like we were saying.
Yeah. Or giving you the tools to not disappoint them. And
what do you mean by that?
Mind. Like, for example, you communicate something to a friend or partner in a tone that is not gentle enough, maybe they can let you know that it's the tone that's bothering them, not what you're saying.
Right.
You know, just kind of giving guidelines.
Last night, Andrew and I got into one of the biggest fights of our friendship. It was so fucking bad because Emil is here. And it really felt like he was our son. It was like late at night. We got back from, I was working at the Comedy Store till late. We got back here and almost instantly we started fighting. And it was, he said the very same thing. He's like, it's your tone. And that bothered me because I'm like, no, it's what I'm saying. Like, you can say it's the tone, but it's what I'm saying is triggering something and it's making you get really defensive. Because if you didn't, if what I brought up wasn't a problem, which I didn't think it was, and it wasn't something you wanted to not talk about, it, we wouldn't be exploding like this. And then it turned into, well, I wouldn't be exploding like this if the thing that I brought up wasn't so contentious for me too. And like, what am I bringing to it? So we fought, like we argued, like,
did Emil run into his room and slam the door?
Emil was literally sitting at the kitchen table with us. And we were sitting, like, it's a round kitchen table, like a basic kitchen table. Emil is sitting on one side and we are across from each other. Just, and Emil's just sitting silently. And then we finally made up. Like, we came full circle, but it took like a half hour. And then we were all laughing, but Emil was seriously like, I gotta go to bed. Like, and he always like stays up late. And he's like, I'm going to bed. Like, it was... it's so uncomfortable, and but when I'm in it, I can't stop fighting, but that's not how I want to be. But then we got to the end of it, and now we're, like, better friends than ever, and I woke up this morning, and we, like, went through, oh, we're going to go through my Raya on air, like, my Raya matches, because I just got a new batch. But we just had, Andrew and I had a great morning. We really are, like, a married couple who just, like, fought all night, like, had a big fight, and our makeup sex is him getting me Advil this morning when I had a headache. And us eating oatmeal in the pianist's hair. And a podcast.
Hey, Andrew, I was just talking about you.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow. I mean, we are so much better this morning than last night.
Yeah.
I was just saying we're such a married couple that, like, got into one of the biggest fights of our relationship last night in front of our son, Emil. And then we went to our separate bedrooms. We made up before we went to bed, though, so that was a good thing. We didn't go to bed angry.
At one point, I go to Emil. I go, "Do you want to say anything, Emil?" He goes, "I'm staying out of this. I don't want to talk."
It was so bad, but it started because of you sensed my tone, and I was annoyed that you got because we were just talking about like confronting stuff or like getting into fights with people because I was talking about just like you know. And she was saying that, like, sometimes people's tone is what's the problem. And I was like, and that really bugged. That was a hard part of last night for me. It was like, it's your tone. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that means. And I think you're putting tone on it because you, like, the way we hear things has a tone. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way our brain and the what we're coming to, the subject that the person is bringing up, although their tone has a part to play, and I did have a tone. Like, you also heard a tone. You're putting stuff on it because of the... And then that's when we were able to, like, break through because you were like... I'm like, I think you're putting stuff on this because you're insecure. You're feeling weird about this. And then you were like, I think you're feeling weird about... And I was like, yeah, you're right, actually. And then we both realized we were bringing other shit to it that was based on fear.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, all of our issues with each other come from...
Good. Honestly, I love fighting.
Yeah, I mean, we really are good at it. I was way better at it than I've ever imagined. Like, my parents did it for years. I guess I picked up some stuff on, like, subconsciously or through osmosis, they say.
We never got to screaming, but it was...
It was close. It was very stern talking, but yeah. It was... I think it was very healthy. I went to sleep. There was part of me where, like, I thought, you know what? Every good duo has, like, Shaq and Kobe. They would go at it, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, like, every, like, good duo to get the best out of each other. Yeah. They go at it. But I've never been that kind of person. If anything, I've been a person that, if that was the case, I would have went to my room angry. And yeah. I would have resented you for a long time.
Well,
and
it happened because you did that the past three times that I've brought up the thing that finally led to Mount Vesuvius happening. Because that's the thing. It's like, you were like, but it's not the first time you said it. And I go, well, this is the first time of hearing that you're upset that I said it. And that was part of it too. But
here's the thing. If I don't mention anything the first time, maybe I'm thinking, oh, it won't happen.
Yes,
again.
I get that. I don't mean to use that as an excuse of like, don't be pussy, speak up. But it's like, it does like lead to that. Like the first, you could just, you know, yeah. I mean, I can do a lot better, but I went to bed feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I did too. And I think we're always better. I mean, look, once a month, we're going to go at it. We're going to put on the gloves and we're going to knock each other around a little bit and we're going to be better for it. And I love it. And I only want the best for you. And I really do feel like you want the best for me.
Do you ever feel like you could say something to me and I'd be like, fuck you, get out of my life? Like, is there a part of you that thinks that I'll do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny because last night I was like, I wonder if he thinks like there's anything he could say to me during a fight that would make me go like we're done. And the truth is I don't think you're capable of saying the type of thing. And if you did, I would just be like,
could.
You need to say that. I could you so hard last night.
That made me really angry. Someone else called me like people are writing on things that we do that aren't
Well, sometimes we are and last night I kind of got you for being
it's the ultimate. You can't argue against
that's
it.
That's the thing. It's like in high school, me and my friends, if my friends are listening from high school, girls, think of how much we we would guys that we wanted that like just were like felt safe around us, and we'd go, you're being cut, and they'd be like, what does that even mean? And they would hate it so much. They'd be like, wait, can I be am I always cut? Or it's like, we're like, you're pretty much always gonna be cut, you're just a cut. And they'd be like, no, I'm not, I don't even know what it means. And we would torture guys with it. And so last night, cutting you felt like,
oh, I wanted to kill you, I wanted to kill you, yeah. Yeah, no, but to back to that thing is like I literally had a moment in my head where I go, she's gonna tomorrow morning or like at some point in our relationship you're gonna go, look, I don't think that you're right for the show anymore and I don't think you're right for my life. I think whatever. And I was gonna go in my head, I go, you know, we had a good run, Nick, and I'm still gonna be okay. And like I like played this whole thing.
Andrew, it's just like not gonna happen. I know that maybe you need that to happen.
No, I don't. I don't. Please don't.
But I promise you, Papa. I liked our fight last night because it felt equal. I didn't feel like I was like.
No, you respect when people stand up for themselves, and I rarely do it. And I think I did it.
It all the time, because I always think I'm right, whether you stand up for yourself or not. So like, it's not gonna change. And a lot of times, I do admit I'm wrong once you have a good point.
But you're a master at debate. You're a master at observation. You're a master at all these things. So you got. I'm pretty good, I guess.
You're good,
but I'm nowhere near your level of. Thanks. But I don't know if that's a compliment.
Being a master of debate and of observation, and being able to go, I know what you're thinking when you're doing this thing. It's a little shady thing that you do.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting for your brain.
Exhausting.
Too.
Egg.
Fashion egg or something.
Okay, I'm sorry. Every time I love doing Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift does Easter eggs for her fans.
There you go.
Where it's like she has little clues and things she says that like later you find out, oh, it was the date of the album release. And Andrew never knows what to say when I do them because sometimes I do little ones and fashion eggs. Why fashion?
I mean, I kind of said it to be funny, but then I also didn't know the word.
Because the first thing you think is funniest, I learned that from Leslie Jones last night. I ran into Leslie Jones at the Comedy Store. She's doing the MTV Movie and TV Awards, not unscripted, on Sunday Night Live. And then I'm doing Monday that's taped on Thursday. Not a big deal.
You're just on live feed on Napster.
The biggest celebrity of mine is like Ray J. I'm not joking, you guys. Ray J.
It's just his penis in the audience, I heard.
It's Ray J and Heidi Klum might like walk in the building to pick up an award. But at hers, it's like, and I was talking to her about her like preparing for it, and it's like, it's just night and day compared to what I've had to do, which I'm grateful because I'm so busy. I don't want to have to shoot a million things. But she was like, if you start bombing or whatever, because we were talking about like how these crowds can be pretty rough, these industry crowds that are just there, like agents just sitting there, like not wanting to laugh because they're worried that they'll get canceled. I don't even know. But she was like, just just when you just do crowd work. And she doesn't know that I don't do crowd work. So she was like, just do what you do. Do crowd work. If you like,
do what you do.
And I'm like, you've never seen my act, but that's fine. I don't expect you to, but she expects like me as a seasoned comic to do crowd work, but she doesn't know I don't do it. And I would be good at it if I did it.
Yeah, you would,
but I just don't do it. But she was like, and I liked what she said. She goes, just always say the first thing you think about someone. And I'm like, well, Tony Hinchcliffe did that and it didn't work out for him a couple of nights ago. But Easter fashion egg.
Well, what's his name said to me, this guy.
Because sometimes the first thing you think is like the worst thing. So maybe you don't want to say that. But she was like, and she goes, the first thought you have is always, it's funny because when you're in like a 12-step program, they're like always the first thought, like your first instinct of like, I want to do drugs is like, ignore that, like wait for God to talk. And she was like, no, with comedy, your first thought is God talking. It's like, just listen and just say that, because usually the first thing you think about someone, like insult wise, comedy wise, is the funniest, unless it's a horrible racial slur that.
Yeah. That Tony Hinchcliffe said. But I do feel like in improv, they sometimes say the funniest thing is actually not A to B, but it's the C thought. Like go to the next thought. You know?
Don't think is like that one motto for
don't think, but also say the third thought. Like it's so stupid. Yeah. But last night I did a comedy for the first time in like 6 months, and I was talking to this other comic, and we were like talking about like when a comic brings you up and it's actually like so hurtful or funny, like you can't follow their introduction of you. And he's like, looks at me and he's like, yeah, you're like, you know, Jeremy Piven, like made no money. And I was like, what, why are you doing?
Just giving an example. Like yeah. If he was like if I were to bring you up, it'd be like if Jeremy Piven.
Yeah. Something like Jeremy Piven was like a, like, I don't know, a poor piece of shit or
something. Couldn't even get close enough to women to assault them.
And I was like, dude, this actually like, good job. Like, yeah. Now I got to go on stage.
Now I have to feel that way. Homeless.
Because we hear so many bad things about Jeremy Piven. So
yeah, like, to not even be able to be Jeremy Piven, even though he's a piece of shit. Let's quickly go through my Raya.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so we were eating oatmeal a half hour ago, and I was about to go through my Raya matches, and then Andrew was like, let's save it. So, okay, I'm in LA, and so there's like more LA choices. He's in San Francisco.
Too far.
White dude that he does a lot of, okay, he's on top of a mountain. These guys just do too many like sports. Oh, there's like a,
he's not bad, but Sam Fran, it's just not gonna happen.
No, it's not gonna happen.
What a long shirt.
Oslo, Norway. Get, and that is here. A nightgown of a shirt.
I mean, he's a hot man. He pulls it off.
He wears the same shirt in every picture.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, this guy just thinks he's hot and he knows it. Oh, this guy
looks like he was in a frat and he never grew up.
Yeah, this guy's and these guys sometimes try to be funny. He has like a picture of Will Smith on his profile, and it's just like, why? Oh, he's cute.
He is cute. He's tall, good hair, shows an old iPod.
He definitely is someone that.
Yeah, check him out. I like him.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. Okay, this guy's cute. He's an artist. What does that mean?
He's like an artist surfer. They always are.
Not going to be into that guy. Okay, let's keep going. This guy, he's at a rave of some sort. I already don't like his eyes.
No.
Wait, why?
He just has psycho eyes that you'd end up in a ditch. And he has like a bunch of like, yeah, they're all doing this cool thing.
Leonardo DiCaprio on the, you know, what's it called?
Yeah, don't put a picture up of
the one where Leo's pointing at the TV. It's like a meme. It's like, don't. He thinks he looks like Leo.
That's the thing. Oh, you look so like a horrible Leo.
The worst version of Leo. This guy, I mean, he's great, great eyebrows. He's a DJ. He's a model.
He looks very European. He's very sexy. He'd be fun to fuck.
His name is John. Oh, he's in Sweden. Yeah, that's.
Bye bye, John John.
This guy is in a Gap ad. Do you think that's true?
I guess.
Is it model for Gap? No. Oh, let's see what his name is. Oh, okay. Some kind of panel one time, and he has a picture of it. Oh, he's teaching his
nephew how to play basketball. That kid can't even shoot yet.
Oh, this guy is no. I mean, everyone's so cute.
This guy's handsome. This guy looks like Bachelor.
He does. He looks like he's on the next season of Love Island. He has like his shirt unbuttoned down to his sternum.
I hate this guy. He's so attractive.
He's very pretty.
I mean, this guy's wildly attractive.
No, I'm not into this.
Really?
He's in Sydney, Australia. I can't date someone in Sydney.
No.
Michael, no. This guy, right. I hate these guys that look at the camera and go like, ooh, like do selfies where they're like, oh, I'm confused. Like, is this a camera? It's like,
look, they're all putting in pictures of things, not themselves, because one other guy did it.
And yeah, he has like pictures of paint swatches. It's like, and I saw, I was scoping on here. There's like, because you can see the girls in your hood. Ew, no. Actually,
I mean, he's an attractive man.
He's driving a motorcycle in a surf. Like, he's on the ocean driving a motorcycle. I can't.
He's so cuh.
It's cuh. I mean, he seems like a nice guy and someone you'd want to give you a tour, like take you on a scuba diving tour, but that's not my husband. Not this guy. Definitely not. He is depressed.
And no.
Wants to start a podcast. No, not that guy. God, there's no one. No.
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 Not terrible. Oh, not terrible.
Not bad. Okay. This guy's in Venice.
Oh, I like this guy.
Yeah, this guy has a small mouth. This is a small mouth, but look at how small his mouth is.
I don't think it's that. Oh, we keep going.
That
keep
is
going.
A small little mouth.
That's a small mouth bass.
Yeah, that's a small mouth.
Does he have? And he has a big chin.
Big chin, small mouth. I mean, I don't hate it, and he has a good smile.
Yeah, he's. I like I'll this go guy. For that guy. He has a good vibe.
Okay,
no,
I still haven't matched with anyone. No. Okay, and now we're out. Okay, so we'll let you know if I matched with any of those people I just went through. Let's get to the news.
What's better, small mouth, big chin, big mouth, little chin?
Small mouth, big chin.
And that's a new country band. I got a girl crush.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Hey, you heard it here first, folks. Hey, I hope you're having a fun time out there. I know it's the hump day, which is sometimes the best day, if you know what I mean, if you're putting your genitals together. And I hope all the swells are out there for everybody. And I promise you merch will be coming soon with those words on it. Who knows? One day. Okay, so the first headline, you're going to love this. Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, says fear of being canceled has led to boring films and TV shows. He went on a Twitter tirade the other day and said, we are getting boring stuff because people are afraid of getting canceled. We're getting boring stuff and not even experimental mistakes. Now, I don't know if he's talking about being canceled in the sense of your show being canceled or public opinion.
I think he's talking canceled. About public opinion canceled.
You think?
Yeah, it's like making things safe because people are so scared to offend. I agree somewhat. And that's the thing. It's like, people are like, then where does it end? And it's like, well, it can end with the N-word and any kind of racial slur. We can just say, don't do that. How about that?
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what if you do a joke based on a stereotype? Like, you know, is that bad? And it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's bad, but let's not do racial slurs. Maybe we just draw the line at that.
I mean, Atlanta, have you seen Atlanta? Atlanta, really, so it is fantastic. I mean, part of this is a little cuh to me because whenever anyone comes out like this, essentially they're saying what I'm doing is great and I'm pushing the limits. Yeah. Why are you not? Yeah. That's how it feels to me a little, but he kind of comes through a lot, this guy.
Like, yeah.
He really is impressively talented. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, what...
I'm saying something in my monologue for the MTV things that's like people are going to react to, like groan, because they're going to think it's like fat shaming. And yeah. I just don't care. I don't care that I'm going to have a bunch of skinny people going, you're fat shaming, because I don't think it'll be fat people that are going to be upset with the joke.
The title of the show is fat shaming.
I mean, the title of the show is that I'm making fun of is yeah. literally the most fat shaming title ever. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing is like, intellectual people that are smart can understand jokes and irony, and people that are stupid just hear a word and they can't.
I mean, there is something about, you know, him being a black man, Donald Glover, and saying stuff like this and people listen more. Like if a white guy is like, we're not making shows anymore, that's like that you're going to be can't. Yeah. No one wants to hear that right now. I sometimes think like maybe I could say like the most like controversial stuff, but have a black friend that says it for me, and I'm a ghostwriter for him.
Yeah.
And I let him do it all for me. And,
right.
And I get to say everything I want.
But I feel like you don't hold back saying what you want to say.
Yeah, I'm really. Not like here biting like, my lip feel, to say like racist or homophobic things.
Censored yet. I mean, there have been times in TV where I've been like, they don't want to do that joke. Like, they can't do that joke. Are you serious? And it's usually not a racial thing or a thing of canceled. It's usually like, that's really mean about us as a network. And I'm like, well, you got to make fun of yourself as a network. And if you don't, they're like, we like when you make fun of yourself. Oh, you like me more when I make fun of myself? Do you realize that as a network, people might like you more if you make fun of yourself? Do you think that might translate to you? And it's so funny because whenever I've done the Comedy Central roast, I literally have done it 3 times. And every single time I've had the joke in my set that says, Comedy Central has been so cool. They let us, and like, they really were like, you can say anything you want. All we ask is you just don't say the N-word, Netflix. And it was just a joke about like Comedy Central's threatened by Netflix, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let me do the joke, not because of the N-word, or like not because of the illusion, but because of Netflix. And it's like, do you think people are going to forget about Netflix if I don't remind them? And Natasha Leggero wrote that joke for me years ago. She was like, I was going to do the roast and I thought of this joke and I was, you can have it if you want. I was like, I will. And then I tried to put it in a roast 2 or 3 times. And I always said it at the live shows. I've done that joke and they always cut it. And it's a great joke, but they won't make fun of themselves.
Well, Netflix never wants you to say the C word, you know.
Yeah.
Cunt. they're actually a little.
Yeah, they actually.
You can make fun of Comedy Central all you want. Yeah, they're like, don't say cunt.
We're buying them.
I think maybe like an example of something that's like outside of like race and stuff like that is like a movie like Lolita being made today. Like a story like that, you know what I mean? That really like dives into like a love for a fit, like, or like any kind of like.
But if it glorifies it and with these disgusting men like writing out their fantasies of like,
yeah,
fucking a 15-year-old, like, I don't know. We've had enough of that. I don't want to see that. But if it's a movie about, you know, child molestation, bring it on. I mean, no one's shying away from that shit.
I feel like you could do documentaries about anything, but a fictional movie about something that happened in a documentary wouldn't be cool.
I feel like in fiction you can do everything.
But that goes...
No, but I mean, like, I'm just saying they can. There are men making movies about, like, fucking children, probably. It's currently, because that's all they all want to do. It's disgusting.
It's so absurd, too, when you think about rampant, how long it takes to get a movie made,
how many rewrites. Well, not when you're Louis C.K. and you write a movie where you get to, like, your girlfriend gets to be 17 or whatever. His last movie that no one saw. Apparently, it's just, like, really hard to watch.
That was a documentary.
What?
No.
Yeah. Apparently, like, in it, he, like, is courting this really young girl. And it's just, like, very Woody Allen-esque of, like, having this thing. I mean, I've cast people in things I've written before. Like, when I was in, like, 2008, I cast Ben Glebe in this little, like, short thing because I wrote this thing where I get to make out with someone. I was like, oh, I kind of want to make out with Ben Glebe. So I was kind of a creep in doing that. But he's also a good actor, and it worked out.
And
but,
he's
like,
your age.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true.
I do think, I guess, you know, I'm not going to speak for
but when
Louis.
Ben Affleck cast Emily Ratajkowski in Gone Girl, he wanted to suck those titties. I'm sorry. She's a good actress. And I don't mean to, she was amazing in that, but I just, my thought, and maybe I'm wrong, is that he made that casting choice because he got to cast whoever he wanted for this scene.
Yeah, he saw her in the Robin Thicke video that everyone else
did. And then
did
in the scene, he's sucking her tits. It's like, did he need to do that in that scene? Couldn't they have just like made out and maybe like,
yeah.
And I'm glad, I mean, like it, maybe it was for the scene. I don't want to get in trouble of saying like, she was only cast for that, but I just see, sometimes I see, and that's directors do that all the time of like, I just want to be around this girl or I just want to be around this guy. So I'm going to, and it doesn't mean that they're not talented, but I just think.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, I feel like Louis' excuse for something like that would be like, no, but I'm being self-deprecating about how old and disgusting I am by showing like a younger hot person next to me who doesn't really want anything to do with me, but have to woe her with my talent.
That's also what he gets off on.
Yeah.
Is like having girls obviously be go, oh, you're jerking off. Like he likes
being a monster.
I'm not even kink shaming. Like that could be a thing that you can pay people to be like, can you, there's this one guy that just wants me to ridicule him on Raya. That's like, I just really get off on the idea of you like talking about like, small my dick is on stage. And it's like, that's a fetish for some people. It doesn't mean it's wrong. I have nothing. I would actually enjoy like fulfilling that dream for you. And I'm not someone who hasn't had booked people on my show because I wanted to meet them and see if there was chemistry. So I'm not someone who's like not being driven by my sexual desires as well. But I'm saying is I see it when it happens.
Look.
I see you. Next story.
I mean, it is why you hired me as a dog walker.
Yeah, I want my dog, you to fuck my dogs. Luigi was into you.
I don't think I could fuck Marion.
No, like Luigi would just like, oh, I don't even want to think about it.
I'd be passionate for
no,
sure.
No, Luigi would be scared. No,
no, he's so comfortable with me. It's been years. No. I would be soft.
God, sometimes Andrew like makes out with Luigi, like will just pretend to be like making out with him. But he doesn't really like lick him. But sometimes he'll be like, like, and I go, Andrew, that's not even funny. And he won't stop doing it. It's so disturbing. He's not touching Luigi, by the way. Dog lovers out there, he's not like doing anything inappropriate.
No, it's fine. You could just tell everyone right now that I make out and fuck your dog.
Wait,
it's cool.
Luigi's asshole. This is a funny story. Luigi's asshole is always showing. It's like a little brown asshole, you know. And my nephew Arlo, when he was a baby, babies love buttons. Like he just learned how to press buttons, and he thought Luigi's asshole was a button. Inserted his whole finger in it, trying to push Luigi on. And my nephew, my brother-in-law told me that he goes, it's like when Arlo pushed Luigi's butthole. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, because Luigi lived with them for a while, and Arlo was like trying to turn the dog off by pushing.
What did Luigi do? I mean,
I'm sure he just took it. Luigi just takes it. You know, next story.
That's true. I'm a little jealous. Okay, a woman had a fake funeral for her ex-boyfriend, so the mistress thinks he's dead. This woman found out she was pregnant. Her boyfriend was cheating. Uh-huh. The girl reached out. She told the girl that he died, and the girl fell for it somehow.
Is this guy
and has made like Facebook posts like, what could I have done differently? I miss him. Like, she writes tributes to him all the time, and she's like keeps doubling down on the fact that he's dead.
How'd this get out?
She made a TikTok video of it where she confessed that her ex has been in jail, but she told his mistress,
in jail.
Sorry, so he was in jail. I missed that when I read it. So he's in jail, so that's, I guess, why she can't get in touch with him.
And so she's like, he's dead, bitch.
Yeah.
Move on.
What a great move.
Oh, my God. I love that so much. I mean, it's crazy, and these people are all not that smart. But, you know, do what you got to do. I mean, I think the issue is probably not the woman that she's trying to keep away from her.
Yeah, it's probably the guy in jail that cheated on his wife.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Pregnant?
Do you think that it takes two to tango when let's say a guy's in a relationship, has a girlfriend?
Well, let's say
cheats, and then who do we blame?
Well, I think in today's culture, a lot of times we say, oh, no, just blame the guy or the girl that's doing the cheating.
Yep, yep.
But
the other person was, I guess it would have just been someone else if it wasn't that
person.
Here's
the thing. I think if you knew the girlfriend and the boyfriend together, like you were friends with both of them,
yeah,
that's a different situation. If you never met the other person, you have literally nothing in common with them, or like nothing, then it's less on you.
Right.
That still being said, it still could be on that person.
If he's going to do it, like you go, there's two arguments here. Because sometimes you go, this guy's, he's going to keep doing it. He's done it to this girl before. If he's doing it with me, he's probably done it before. Or I have proof he's done it before based on what he says. But he's probably a liar, so who could really trust? But then you go, okay, if it's not me, it's someone else. I've done that before.
Yeah.
I once got like fingered by a married guy. And I was like, this guy just keeps giving me vibes. And I'm like, he doesn't talk about his wife. He's like, it doesn't seem like... And then my friend was like, oh, he cheats all the time. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll let him finger me. Like, I was just one of men. I'm not going to be the one that breaks up his family is how I convinced myself. Like, if he does it all the time. And I didn't do anything else. I didn't even acknowledge his penis. Like, I made a point. Not that that's like a point of pride, but I was just like, he's not going to get anything, this cheating piece of shit, but I'll get fingered. And did I feel guilty? No. And maybe, should I? Maybe, yeah. He's divorced now and like in a relationship.
Did he take his wedding ring off to put it in you?
No, it made his finger a little bit more bulky.
The blood flow.
It fell off inside me. No, that was when I was very young. I would never fuck around with a married man.
I hooked up with one married woman in Vegas.
No.
It's kind of crazy. I was so fucking... I went to one of these day pools that are adult day pools, so girls go topless. Mm-hmm. and I was like really jacked back then. And I was like shaving my chest, and I put the bikini, like the woman's bikini on, and everyone's like, huh. That was my stand up back then. Yeah. Was putting a woman's bikini on, and then I looked around, and every guy copied me. I was like, fuck you, I'm the man.
Bro. Wait, so she went topless?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so then I went out that night, didn't hook up with her, didn't know she was married, and then the next morning. She wrote me, and I was so hungover, and I went over to her hotel room, and I was like, I just need to shower, and I just showered, and then I walked out and just fucked her. Wow. And then she, like...
When did you find out she was married?
When I came. I'm married. And I was like, who? No, I think I found out before she... But...
Yeah, we always convince ourselves we didn't know.
Yeah.
But it's like...
And it felt bad, but then she texted me again, and then I like obviously
cut
it off.
I'm sorry. It's just like I talk about this a lot with people. Like, but the girlfriend thing, yeah, if you don't know them, it's not still not right, but if you're under the impression that this happens all the time and that they're not happy in the relationship and all these things, like you can convince yourself, okay, I'll do it. But does the other... The other woman or the other man have a part to play? Shh. Yes. Yes. And you have responsibility to like admit that you did something a little not right either. Maybe it's not as wrong as the person who chose to cheat.
The problem is if the person has a family or if they'll fucking hate you. Like you're going to get hated. Like you're not going to please everyone. Like it's
yeah,
not
you
like
don't expect to be a part of the children's lives whose family or do well, that because happened. You happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your dad married the
married
woman
the person that he cheated with. And part of it was he did that because he wanted to prove that their love was real and that he didn't just cheat to cheat. Like he cheated because he loved this woman and let's, you know, make it official with the government. I remember we went bowling. That was the first time we ever met. How Florida is that? We all went bowling
together.
And
you knew she was the woman that you'd been cheating?
Yeah, and she brought her own ball. And I was like, who is this woman?
Like, she can't do anything right. A woman that, I mean, if she didn't bring her own ball, you'd be like, that fucking whore that that hurt my mom.
It was weird that my mom's face was on the ball. And I was like, really? You're going to hit the pins with that?
Were you more mad at your dad or your mom or the girl when you were a kid? And was your mom more mad at... Your dad or the woman?
Oh, or dude, equally. My mom fucking hated
her.
I mean, she still does.
Wait, Andrew, I don't know, because like, I don't remember how old you were, but do you remember what your parents' relationship was like?
Prior?
Prior to your dad cheating. I'm sure it was not a harmonious relationship.
They fought I was talking to my brothers about it. I go, I don't remember one time we were all happy as a family. And they got divorced when I was 13. So that's 12 years of like, I don't honestly remember us all laughing together as a family. I really try to remember it, you know, and I can't. I just think they hated each other so much. For like a year and a half, they fought every single day. Like it's me and Nikki did last night. Like every day, though. Imagine if we did that every day.
No, I know. I grew up in a family that did. That's why I learned.
What would
those
you
skills.
Do? Would you talk or would you just go to your room?
I would go, stop fighting. And they go, we're not fighting. You shut up. This isn't, you're not a part of this. Oh. You shut up. Nikki, you stay out of this. God damn it. Everyone's always ganging up on me. I'm going to the store. Fuck you. And then slam the door and wouldn't come back for hours. And then when she did, it would be.
She'd come back
fine.
With thrift store clothes and then
everything,
she'd tell it.
We're not going to talk about anything. It would be very like, I would say, my first stand-up joke literally ever was that when I used to, my parents used to fight and when I would say stop fighting, because I remember thinking this, they would go, we're not fighting. We're having a discussion. And I go, well, when we have a discussion in my fifth grade class about the, you know, the a tree grows in Brooklyn or whatever the fuck you read in fifth grade, my teacher doesn't throw a remote across the room and say fuck you to our class and then leave to go pick up Chinese food that you never come back with, and you hit a mailbox on your way out because you're speeding away so angrily and you hit reverse when you really want to go and drive. That's not what happens in the discussions.
Dude, that is like so...
That was like my first time. I remember thinking that being like...
You're hitting on a nerve so much with me.
I remember as a kid doing like thinking of a stand-up but being like, it's funny that she says discussions when like classroom discussions are never... I was like formulating, but that was like my first thing I ever wrote.
Dude, my dad, he doesn't know like how loud his voice is when he yells. And he like yell talks. And I never yell talk. Like, you know me. Like, I rarely raise my voice ever. And I remember one time he was yell talking at me. And I finally, like, when you hold it in for so long, I finally, like, yelled back. And he was just like, why are you yelling? I go, you've been yelling my whole fucking life.
No one like, knows how their have tone. You?
Yeah.
That's the tone.
The tone
no
thing.
No one knows tone.
And but maybe that's why I'm so sensitive to it.
That's why you have to record people and go, this is what you sounded like. Like, I've recorded my parents fighting before, and I won't play it for them because I know they'll get so upset and run, and they'll just storm out of the room and won't listen. But if they knew what they sounded like, and me too, I've heard myself on podcasts where I'm already, know I'm being recorded, and I'm accountable. And I still behave in ways that are like really embarrassing. So, you know, we're all capable of it. And my parents have gotten a lot better because I don't live with them. Let's go to what do I care? So I don't hear it as much.
Why do I care?
All right. So Taylor Swift channeled her 1989 era with a bedazzled matching set as she becomes the first woman to win the Brit Award for Global Icon.
Oh my God.
Taylor ditched her cardigans and went back to her matching reminiscence set of her
just
red
let me take this from here. Okay, so
you know who she is?
Images surfaced last night of Taylor Swift. She looks stunning. She is, everyone on the Swiftie subreddit is commenting that she is, for Swifties out there, this is a 1989 outfit with some red album hair and lipstick and vibes and the confidence of Folklore / Evermore, and it is a look. This is a I mean, she looks stunning. You should see the whole thing. I mean, I screenshotted so many things because this is what I want to look like for the MTV Awards.
You know, we're coming out of COVID when people start dressing really hot again, because it's like you can't look too sexy when everyone's dying.
Yeah, Taylor always reads, takes the pulse of the room. Like, she was wearing, you should have seen what she wore to the ACMA Taylor Swift 2020.
Your boy's going to start wearing really hot shorts.
Look, okay, go to that first pic. Look, that one, perfect. She's wearing some pleated high-waisted pants with a mock turtleneck, her hair up in a messy lower bun. I mean, she looks fantastic. Look at that butt. I mean, and like, she's wearing a whole Stella McCartney outfit. She looked amazing, but now she's back to like sexy, like stomach showing. What did she say? We live in a world. Hold on. What did by the way, you guys, there's a deep fake I put on Instagram yesterday of Taylor.
So good.
And I ended up putting out 3 albums instead. So making Folklore and Evermore was one of the most unique, cathartic, extraordinary experiences I've ever had. I would love the opportunity to thank the amazing creative people that I made those albums with.
Okay. I know that. Oh my God, I love her so much. I like seeing those pictures last. I think I'm kind of in love with Taylor Swift.
You're obsessed.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's an obsession.
What's wrong?
I don't know. You had the same obsession for the Counting Crows guy, but it's like,
yeah, or Dave Matthews back in the day. I'm doing Fallon today and I'm talking about Dave Matthews and I'm really trying to work out the bit.
I mean,
I want to do a bit about, I mean, you'll watch Fallon tonight and see if it makes it, but I want to do a bit about how, like, I'm trying to phrase it so it's not racially, like, doesn't make anyone go. I want to make a joke about how, like, as a white young girl in the suburbs in St. Louis, Missouri in 2001, like a high schooler, or like, no, this was like 1997, a seventh grader hearing Dave Matthews Band, like Ants Marching. I felt very cool that I learned the first rap I ever learned was Candyman tempting the thoughts of a sweet tooth torture by a lost program. Like, every white person was like, I can rap. Like, yeah. But I don't know how to phrase it.
I mean,
way.
Yeah, I mean, literally, we got Vanilla Ice, and then we had Candyman, and then we had Bare Naked Ladies.
And then, yeah.
But yeah.
Chicken to China, the Chinese chicken. Oh, no, that's Tony Hinchcliffe's set from last night.
Oh, gosh.
No.
RIP Tony's career, hopefully.
Let's get to Collection of Kuh.
Oh, these are great.
The show's been Kuh heavy already. I mean, last night when I said that you were Kuh, it really did hit you. It's so funny to come up with an insult that like didn't exist to you a year ago, and now it's like the worst thing you could say.
You better not do it every day.
I won't. Unless
I'll jump off a balcony.
I caught you being Kuh because I felt my justification of that, I'm not going to get into what we were talking about, but was like, you're acting like, wait, I didn't do anything. What? Like that kind of like, to not acknowledge.
Because, yeah, but sometimes people just don't want to acknowledge everything.
And that's good.
Getting ready for some
When Kirsten, my best friend from fourth grade, goes, getting ready for some kit. Like, that, she's fucking funny, dude.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's coming here in a couple days. Okay, let's go through some kuhs that were sent in by our listeners. All right, we have one. Oh, let's listen to a voice message left from Kim about a kuh.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Andrew. Thank you so much for your podcast. I love listening Monday through Thursdays. I have a real kuh moment and also a mispronunciation of a word. So a few years ago, a group called, or it's a single person, Party Next Door came out with an album, and I was driving in a car with a friend who I knew loved Party Next Door. So I wanted to be real kuh and suggest listening to one of the new songs. And the song I suggested was Rendezvous, but the song is actually Rendezvous.
Oh my God, Kim coming in with a kuh and a mispronunciation.
You know, I like the mispronunciation, and the reveal is the actual. No, everyone always gives the actual word, and then the reveal's after.
Kim is an all-star, and she should be on our staff because that is, I mean, that the way she presented it, you're right. If you do mispronunciations, there's no wrong way to call into the show and leave a voicemail, but like, let's give us what you said, and we'll try to figure out the word.
Oh, yeah.
Because Rendezvous is, I've been saying Santa Monica the whole time we've been here. Last night you did a show in Santa Monica.
I did do a show in Santa Monica.
Kim, so funny. And yes, you're right, that is kuh. You were like, you want to listen to this song that like I just know that you think is a cool new artist, and maybe you'll think I'm cool, and then you don't say the name. It's so fucking
kuh
funny.
Kuh is so great when the stakes are higher. Like, I mean, I know that's low stakes, but when you're trying to seem kuh, the stakes get higher.
Well, the thing you keep mispronouncing that is so funny is the girl from The Hills that was married to Jay Cutler.
Cavalieri.
You keep going, Cavalier. You know that Jeff Dye is still dating Cavalier. And I go, I do.
What is
I did
her
not
name?
Know that Kristen Cavalier, Kristen Cavalieri and him are still together. But I did. Being Cavalier, what does that mean? Do you know?
It means being a beautiful dog with big ears.
No, it means being like.
Shout out to my little brother's two dogs.
They're Cavaliers.
Yeah, he has two King Charles.
Okay. Well, yeah, being Cavalier means being like fine. Like, I think it means being like letting it go. Like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I don't, like, I'm Cavalier about, I mean, I'm not really Cavalier.
Carefree.
Carefree. Thank you. All right, let's go to Lyra. She wrote into the show.
No. There's another voicemail, unless you don't want to do it.
Do we want to do another? Let's do another voicemail from Rowan.
You got a lot to live up to, Rowan.
Hi, besties. This is Rowan from Saudi Arabia. I'm a big fan of Nikki Glaser, and I learned about her from watching her Netflix specials. I have a kuh moment that I want to share with you guys. My sister, when she was in second grade, told her classmates that she was a trainer, and she was training us, her siblings, in a big gym in our house, which is obviously a big lie. That's pretty kuh, I would say. At the end of the day, and first and foremost, I love you guys. Bye.
End of the day, and first and foremost, Rowan, I love you
Dude,
so
how
much.
How do we reach country? Other these
oh my
countries?
God. Okay, her sister told people that she was training her siblings
in second grade.
In,
yes,
in second grade. It's maybe the first kuh that second grader ever had in a life of many kuhs. I bet your sister's still a little bit kuh. But that is really cute, and I think we all told lies like that. I didn't realize that, like, yeah, we were all very kuh when we were young, and we didn't realize that people could see through us being kuh. Like, now, as an adult, kuhs get funnier because as an adult, you should be self-aware enough that everyone knows you're trying to look cool, but kids are constantly trying to be, like...
I mean, every high school kid is kuh.
I jumped this high, and you're like, that's impossible. You're two. So you're kuh right now. I'm going to start calling my I'm going to start kuhing my nephew and niece.
It's kind of like a gateway. Like, that same, like, she's a trainer in second grade, And by 16, she's revving her engine at a movie theater. Like, yeah. we could pick him out early. This is another one where it's a young girl.
Okay, so this is from Lyra. Hi, Lyra. She says, okay, so I work at a hospital and this Porsche is always parked like at an angle, like it's on display. Oh my God, I hate when people park at angles. One day the dude that owns the vehicle was on his phone leaning against it talking on the phone. She wrote. And then you want to get the next part?
I just want to talk about the Porsche at an angle, or the person that parks their car so away from other cars so it doesn't get dinged because it's such a nice car. Get out of here, you fucking dick.
Yes.
Okay, so next part. Also, my 9-year-old daughter has Heelys, which are sneakers with wheels on the heels. We live in this cute little university town, and we were walking down the street to get brunch at a crepe place. She was scooting along on her wheel sneakers, and to herself, like she was her own narrator, she said, "I don't walk, I ride." Ugh, and in my head, I was like, it is so good.
I love king children. This is the theme. Children, I mean, that is a funny line for your daughter to say. So your daughter seems delightful. But for her saying that to herself is so cute too. I don't walk, I ride. And if
anyone that narrates their own life is king.
Yes. Yes. That but king your kids. I like really am into this.
Just cut your kids out there.
And teach your kids cut. Like teach your kids to cut people, because it's a way that's to insult people that really, it's almost the same thing I was realizing that Harris Whittles came up with humble brag. You know, when people on Twitter would be like, I'm in LA and I have so many meetings, I can't even move. And it's just like, we get it. You're in LA doing meetings. Kuh. So kuh and humble brag are very close together. I will say that I coined kuh before humble brag, although humble brag is a whole thing in and of itself that I love. And you still see all the time. That's it for collection of kuhs. Thank you for sending yours in. Let's get into final thought. Andrew, can I just finish what my day is?
Of course.
So after this.
Is this a humble brag?
I mean, it's not. I promise you it's not. I do not think I'm cool. I do cool things, but I really don't think I'm that cool, especially after finding out that Leslie Jones is hosting something where Snoop Dogg is the house DJ and my house DJ is Kim Lee from Bling Empire. And I don't even know her. It could be, she's probably actually amazing.
She's probably more famous than Snoop Dogg right now.
No, she's legit. I was just saying that as a joke. And also, I don't know who she is. I don't know a lot of the people that are going to be there, but I'm finding out about them. Anyway, today I have, okay, I have a fitting in an hour here. Then I have to get ready for Fallon. And then I have Fallon at 2. That'll air tonight, you guys. So if you're listening to this, I'm on Fallon tonight or last night, but it's probably on YouTube at this point. So do check that out. And then I finish Fallon at 3 and or like around then. And then I go to MTV rehearsal space. I go to the Palladium to rehearse for tomorrow's show at 4:30. So I have an hour and a half there. Hang out, maybe play a little guitar. With
a little guitar. A little.
Me and Emil learned... I've been trying to get Emil to like, because we have 2 guitars here, because I had Carlisle have her boyfriend bring one over. So, because when there's 2 people that are at this, me and Emil are at like the kind of the same level. He's more into like doing lead stuff, and I just want to like learn how to strum songs, but he can't sing. At least he says he can't.
He probably can't.
He's too scared to sing. I'm trying to get Emil to like sing, even though I know he can. It's too vulnerable though. Men singing.
He probably has like a really high-pitched, like beautiful songbird voice.
I bet he has a gorgeous voice.
He's like, I can't sing. And then he's just like, I want to rock your body like a Range Rover. or something like that.
But we learned how to sing. We learned how to play like a Range. Is that a lyric?
No, but it got Noah pretty good.
Noah's dying. Noah's cracking.
It probably
up.
Sounds better when in headphones. You know when you sing it,
it's just so random.
Yeah,
like a Range Rover is funny.
It's a pretty good line.
I literally thought it was a lyric. That's why I wasn't that impressed. That was a real thing. I think you were combining. I want to rock your body, day to day.
Range Rover.
Yeah.
What's that song? It's over. What's that? You know.
I drove my car past your house. Last night, I drove my... Wait, what?
No, that song. Sledgehammer.
Oh, yeah.
Range Rover.
Yes. What's her name? Olivia Rodrigo, who was influenced by Taylor Swift and became famous during COVID, finally met Taylor Swift last night at the Brit Awards. And everyone's like, oh my God, they're meeting. And there's so many pictures of it. So I go to rehearsal from 4:30 to 6. Then we have a COVID test. Then I have a stand-up show at 7. Then I have a stand-up show at 9. And then I also have one I could go to at 10:30 if I want to run my set again. And then I can go to bed. And then tomorrow morning I wake up and do the awards. It's the fullest day ever.
It's a very cool day.
I'm
just fucking
I don't
around.
Think I'm cool. I'm a little bit worried about Fallon. I got to be honest, because I don't usually going into Fallon. I know, like, when you have a conversation with someone, I'm obviously used to doing podcasts and stuff, but when it just needs to be jam packed with jokes of like, I just don't want it to be a meandering conversation. But the truth is most celebrities go on Fallon and actors and stuff and they don't have punchlines and it's fine.
You're going to have
Jimmy's a great yes. host, great laugher, great, you know, has great enthusiasm, great listener, allows you to do what you do. But, you know, I just on these kind of days where it's like usually Fallon would be all my focus. But now I'm like, oh, I'm working on the MTV.
But you know what?
The jokes I can't do on MTV. I'm gonna do on Fallon. So
if you're doing stand up, I understand. Like if you were having to do stand up on Fallon, the fact that you're talking like Conan, Conan, you really practice for, and then about 25% of it was off the cuff stuff. That
yeah,
was
right.
honestly maybe some of the best stuff there. So you're gonna be good. You have a plan. I bet you it goes off the rails
I'm
a little bit.
Show the picture of me meeting Dave Matthews.
Yeah, you should show a picture of your Noah. Dave Matthews light.
The light switch?
The light switch at home.
I mean, is that funny?
Yes, you went from the light switch to real life.
Yeah.
It's like you turned a switch on and you met him. It's fucking yes. unbelievable. It's like Back to the Future.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of.
The picture is so funny because I say to him, I'm like, Jimmy, this picture, I knew it was going to mean more to me than any photograph I've ever taken in my life. What's a photograph that I could say? Like, it means more to me. Let's like write a joke right now that people will hear. It means more to me. This photograph meant more to me than...
the photograph.
What's a photograph of like
the Vietnam
history?
Soldiers holding up the flag?
Yeah.
Something
what's
along those
is
lines.
Is there a name for that? I knew this photo would mean more to me than probably my. I mean, people care about wedding photos. People care about.
Yeah. My future husband, our wedding photos, our engagement photos will have nothing on this photo.
There's something about like I knew this photo would be. Next to my casket someday. No, that doesn't make sense.
And Dave will be playing. Say
oh my
goodbye.
God. Say goodbye. but the picture I tried to look so cute in, and it just looks, my face is just so scrunched up and excited. And it's just, it's honestly pretty cute because I'm just like, I couldn't hide my feelings. And pictures are so fake. Like when we smile in pictures, I'm just like, that's not how anyone ever looks.
Yeah.
You know what? Smile how you do in pictures if you were like sitting next to your mom for a Mother's Day photo, okay? I've literally never seen you smile like that. You never have ever
No, I would do.
Like,
I usually go like this, actually.
Okay, I see you look like that.
Yeah,
that's just when you're...
A smirk.
Smiles are so fake. Like Mother's Day photos next to your mom are a fake smile.
I know, but then I think we go the other way where it's like everyone has a quirky face. It's like, can we just... Oh, I'm quirky.
Oh, God.
I'm wild.
People make ugly faces in photos because they're scared that if they actually look ugly, they can. It's just such a defense when people are like make like a silly face because they're scared of vulnerability of actually trying to look good and then not looking good. And that's why music is so humiliating when people sing. Men who sing like, I love you. They like moan their emotions out of their mouth. It's so vulnerable and so hilarious.
But I don't... The only thing that I would argue that it's not that vulnerable is because they get such a positive reaction from it.
Yeah.
So it's like how much
still to take that chance and not know if that positive reaction is coming.
Yeah, I guess it depends how good you are. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it could go pretty bad.
It takes a lot of confidence and probably narcissism and sociopathy. But we got to go. Thank you for listening. Wait, are we done? No,
no,
tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow, the day of the awards. Watch Fallon tonight. Check out my tour, NikkiGlaser.com/tour. Keep leaving us voice memos and send in your cuz. We'll get to them at another time. Thank you, everyone, to that sent in stuff. And it listens every day. We love you so much, besties.
And kuh with a K because it's for kids.
Yeah.
A kid.
Yeah. Kuh kids. Kill your kids. It sounds like we said kill your kids.
Wouldn't it be a bad idea?